Test, test. 1, 2, 3. Test, test.
Please join me with the prayer of illumination. During this Lenten time, may the words and stories of Scripture guide us through the wilderness and choices of life, as once they guided Jesus through his wilderness experience. Amen. Our readings today is from Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17, a letter of Paul to the Galatians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here is wisdom.
So the question, of course, is why bother with worship? Why bother? Psalm 100, verse 2 and 3 says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." I'd like to suggest that this is why we worship, that these words from the Psalms help us answer our question, that somehow we are designed to worship God. It's in our DNA. It's rooted in our tradition. Our theology of worship is grounded in ancient wisdom that affirms a special intimate relationship with the one who has made us, the one who claims us as his beloved, his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Now I begin with Psalm 100 because it lies at the very foundation of everything that follows on into the time of Jesus and Paul as we consider both prayer and public worship. The collective wisdom of our Judeo-Christian roots proclaims that we pray and worship not because of want, but because of need. Our greatest purpose as human beings, according to the wisdom of our faith, is to offer God our gratitude, our praise, and our worship. That's our greatest purpose. Now consider for a moment. In the Muslim tradition, prayer is offered 5 times a day. In the Jewish tradition, prayer is offered 3 times a day. In the Christian tradition, according to the rule of Saint Benedict and earlier, now I'm talking 4th to 6th centuries, Prayer is offered 8 times a day and continues to be so, especially in the monastic settings. I wonder, dear Christians, how many times a day are you praying? Hands up, 8 times a day. Oh, just saying. I don't pray 8 times a day, I pray 24 hours a day. In the Middle East, where all the Abrahamic traditions intermingle, the call to prayer is proclaimed from the minaret. Or it's proclaimed by the time on the clock and or the place of the sun in the sky. In every case, the call to prayer is meant to be an interruption in the day. When the call to prayer comes from the minaret, in whatever community you are in the Middle East, work stops. Tasks cease. And room is created in the moment to pray. Now, what I appreciate is the notion that prayer serves to interrupt. Prayer is designed to get in the way of the many things that serve to keep bread on the table, keep others happy, or keep things operating. Prayer and worship go together. They exist to get in the way of the many things we deem important or that otherwise serve as distractions from tending to our soul's need to commune with God. The intent of prayer and worship is to get at the very center of our life in order that we may be reminded again and again about who and whose we are. Prayer and worship together zero in the very, very core of our being, and they help us reconnect with the one who offers breath and life and chooses to lovingly accompany us through joy and through sorrow. Worship and prayer nourish and heal our soul, which is always yearning for the divine. And this yearning is hardwired into us at birth. It is eased by worship and prayer. And so I wondered, do you see what I mean about the depths of God's DNA, God's divine essence in us, resting at the root of who we are, where by design our greatest purpose is to worship and praise. Now, when I said 8 times a day, of course I'm talking about those in monastic settings, just so we can give ourselves a break. But the question is, where in the day do we pray? For me, it's in the morning. It's while I have my cup of coffee and I sit quietly for about half an hour before I begin the day. And then it's in the evening as I'm about to go to sleep. Sometimes my prayer is, that's all I can do today. I can't do any more. The rest I give over to God. And then I grab the blankets from Susan. Prayer and worship. Prayer and worship offer us the sense, and here's where the blanket image comes in, Prayer and worship offers us the sense of being wrapped in the love and compassion of God, which, of course, is why the Jewish people wrap themselves in a prayer shawl for prayers. So this is the tallit. And it's a rather colorful one. Mostly in Israel, we'd see a tallit mostly in blue or black stripes. And it would be worn over the head to start, with the sense of being held or wrapped in the shadow or under the presence of the Torah. And then they would draw the corners up, bring it around over the top, so that there's four tassels at the front and four at the back. And the tassels are designed according to the tradition outlined in Numbers to represent the 613 commandments in the law. So each knot, each thread is knotted according to the tradition. So clothe yourselves, which is another connection we make with our prayer shawl ministry. Do you see the connection? This has roots in the Jewish tradition. It has the sense of being covered, held, wrapped, clothed in the presence of God. So with that in mind, we come to the words from Paul as they appear in Colossians. Do you remember these words? As God's chosen ones, now we have to think that that's the Jewish understanding, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Colossians 3, verse 12. I invite you to see and hear these words and let them be in us. We are holy and beloved. And then to imagine ourselves being wrapped in the essence of God's kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Worship and prayer is the action, the gestures we take in order to fully embody the presence of God in us. And Paul goes on, above all, he says, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Paul uses the verb clothe twice inside three verses. Literally, I believe it means to take on the gifts of God for the people of God, to wear them. To clothe in my mind is to pray and embody our intentions to be one with God, to be held under the protection of God's law, the Torah, which means life, to be in the shadow of God's power. These are some of the images and ways of thinking that the Jewish people bring to their practice of worship when they put the tallit over their heads and around their shoulders. In the same way, when I'm putting my vestments on for church, I pray words of intention when I place the cincture around my waist. I am bound to Christ. I kiss the stole, and often the stole, this one doesn't, but there are a few that have a cross stitched on the very back seam. As I place the stole, I'll kiss it and then place it on, reminding me that this is a commitment to serve Christ. It's an ancient gesture. It's not just my ritual. These are rituals of the early church. All of this happens in my office before worship and in the haste of preparing and getting all the details organized. But each little gesture serves to interrupt the flow just enough to remind me who and whose I am, that I belong to God, that God chooses to be my divine source of light and love. So why worship? Why pray together on Sunday and at home during the week? And the answer is, as you may have guessed, twofold. One, I've already answered it. It's because we are designed to worship and to pray. It's our DNA. That much is certain. The tradition names that clearly. And two, it serves to interrupt us. Prayer and worship is not meant to be convenient or handy. It's not meant to accommodate us in the many things that seem so important to us. It's meant rather to get in our way, even when the briar is on. You know? It's meant to get in our way. We have to do some work to get here. We have to make choices to get here. We have to let go of the many things to be here. We have to yield to our soul's need to be nourished and to be loved. And don't I know the number of times after worship that people say to me at the door, you know, I really needed that. So weird, eh? How we resist getting here, and then when we're here, we realize not only do we need to be here, it's good for our soul. And we go home and travel into the week a little lighter, a little more assured, a little more comforted, and a little more grateful. So I wonder, does it seem like Sunday morning gets in the way? I wonder if it competes with all our many things and feels like an inconvenience. If so, then I'm really happy for you. I'm glad, because I have the sense that that is exactly what it's supposed to be. It should feel like an inconvenience. It should feel like our soul is working to get our attention, that somehow it needs us to honor the beloved and the holy essence that is part of our nature. This is a yearning. This is a yearning. It's our soul's desire to worship and to pray. It is part of our being. So why do we pray and worship together? Why bother? I'd like to submit we do so because it's our soul purpose. It's our greatest mission. It's our greatest need. It's the reason for our being. It calls to us. It beckons us. Its desire is to interrupt us and spiritually align us again and again and again with God's love that binds everything together in perfect harmony and grants us peace.